Ethiopia slides closer to civil war amid warnings of an even greater humanitarian crisis. Can diplomats defuse the situation? And what would the failure of international diplomacy mean? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Sami Zeidan. Now, Ethiopia has more than 90 ethnic groups, and it's feared the conflict in the northern region of Tigray is stirring divisions. The UN is warning the nation is descending into an all-out civil war, and the effects could ripple throughout the Horn of Africa. Tigrayan rebels threaten to advance on the capital, Addis Ababa. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has called on Ethiopians to take up arms and defend their neighborhoods. Diplomatic efforts are underway to try and end the fighting. US and African envoys have held meetings with the Prime Minister and Tigrayan leaders. Both Jeffrey Feltman and Olusegun Obasanjo say there's a small window of opportunity to de-escalate tensions.
All these leaders here in Addis Ababa and in the north agree individually that the difference between them are political and require political solution through dialogue. This, therefore, constitutes a window of opportunity. It is, however, important to mention the window of opportunity we have is very little and that the time is short for any intervention in this regard.
Tens of thousands of people have taken to the streets in Ethiopia in support of Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed and the armed forces. The rallies were held after the government declared a state of emergency. Abiy says he wants to protect civilians from the rebels. The TPLF and its allies have made major gains on the ground in recent days. Regional fighters have taken control of cities along a main road leading to the capital. And the UN has accused all sides in the conflict of committing atrocities. At least 16 UN local employees and 72 drivers for the World Food Programme were detained in Addis Ababa on Tuesday. The UN has called for their immediate release. The detentions came after the top UN humanitarian relief official completed a visit to Ethiopia, including Tigray's capital, Mekele. The UN says the fighting is disrupting the flow of aid into the region and the humanitarian situation is worsening. More than 400,000 people in Tigray are estimated to be living in famine-like conditions. We'll get to our guests shortly, but first, Mohamed Adao reports from Addis Ababa.
There are frantic diplomatic efforts going on to try and bring the two sides in Ethiopia's conflict to a negotiated settlement. There is a sense of urgency within the international community that the fighting needs to stop, and urgently so, because it has every possibility of turning into a civil war if the fighting continues as it has been, and it's been intensifying in recent weeks. Olusegun Obasanjo, former president of Nigeria, who is also the African Union's special envoy to the Horn of Africa, is leading efforts by the African Union to bring the two sides to a negotiated settlement. Obasanjo has been speaking and says there is a window of opportunity which is closing very fast, and that he will have a plan for dialogue between the government and Tigray fighters before the end of the week. He has been to Mekele, the capital of the Tigray region, to meet the leadership of the TPLF. He has also visited the Amhara and Afar regions where the conflict has spilled over to in recent weeks, and since that conflict has intensified. Of course, the United States is also going on with a parallel initiative to try and bring about dialogue between the two sides in the conflict. Jeffrey Feltman, the U.S. Special Envoy to the Horn of Africa, came back to Addis Ababa on Tuesday, just days after leaving for neighboring Kenya. He is also meeting senior government officials and also opposition leaders. Now, all this going on, what is really putting the whole dialogue thing at risk is that tag the government has given to the TPLF fighters. The government, at the onset of this war last year, put the Tigray fighters in its list of terror organizations, and that has always been an impediment to talks happening between the government and the Tigray fighters. Whether the government is ready to lift that tag is still unknown. But Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed late on Tuesday tweeted that Ethiopian government was ready to work with its friends to make sure that Ethiopia gets through what he called the temporary challenges it's been facing. Mohammed Addo for Al Jazeera Inside Story, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
All right, let's bring in our guests into the show. We have joining us from Addis Ababa, Samuel Getacho. He's a journalist in Nairobi. William Deverson, he's the senior Ethiopia analyst in the International Crisis Group. And in Lagos, Emmanuel Kwesi Anning, the director of research at the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center. Welcome to you all. If I could start with Kwesi then. So first of all, is there still time, Kwesi, for the US, the AU to broker that ceasefire?
Well, I think every partner, every mediation partner that is acceptable to both parties who seeks to broker some initial agreement that will bring the parties around the negotiation table is very useful. But even more critical is the role of the African Union. I know and I do recognize that it is in a very tight corner between a rock and a hard place. It is host to the, or it is a guest to the people of Ethiopia, and it needs to walk this very tight rope to bring the parties together. I know earlier efforts have been rejected. There are suspicions around the present initiative. But I think the African Union must, by all means, become one of the critical holders in trying to bring the multiplicity of warring factions together. Because in the long, term,
can they still do it? Is there time, or has that window closed?
Well, there isn't much time. The opposing forces have laid down the gauntlet, and there's very little time. The forces seeking to come into Addis think that they have the momentum on their side. The rhetoric from Addis shows increasing desperation, and I think there will be a lot of hardcore forces within the Tigrayan and Oromia forces who would want a quick and decisive entry into Addis. That certainly would be a disaster.
Time
is not on our side at all.
Time is running out. Before we go into the situation on the ground, let me bring William into the chat and ask this question. William, right now there's quite a number of diplomatic efforts going on. How aligned are the interests of international powers in Ethiopia right now?
Oh, I don't think that's a major part of the problem here, whether it's the EU envoy, US envoy, President Kenyatta and the Kenyan government, and then also we see the OCHA chief, Martin Griffiths, as well. I think they're all pushing broadly in the same direction here. They want to see the humanitarian situation addressed. That needs to come through a ceasefire and negotiations. The problem is any external actor, really, you're getting any traction with the Ethiopian protagonists here. The Tigray leadership now thinks they're in a commanding military position, therefore adopting an increasingly hardline position, even suggesting that there's no real room for negotiations with Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed now. And of course, Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed and his government have been resistant to the idea of negotiations from the outset. They said that Tigray leadership has committed treason, essentially, and launched an insurrection. In May, they classified them as a terrorist organization. And as we've seen these increasing military victories that have put the Tigray leadership in this bullish mood, all we've seen from Addis Ababa is a doubling down, calls for all-out mobilization and a state of emergency. And at the moment, no sign of a recourse to negotiations. But that really does threaten to be particularly destabilizing, partly because the war could come to Addis Ababa. That could have knock-on incredibly serious effects for Tigrayan citizens, not least in the forms of increasing state repression and perhaps mob violence. Therefore, at International Crisis Group, we think more than ever there is a need for Abiy Ahmed's federal government to take action to really facilitate aid to Tigray rather than choke it. We've just seen the arrest of 70 World Food Programme contractors in Samarra, a key point on that aid route. We also need to see the federal government unblock services. People are running out of cash in Tigray, or have run out of cash because there is no banking services, no telecommunications, no electricity. If the federal government takes these measures, that might convince the Tigray leadership to stop their advance. Otherwise, they look to press on, first by trying to take control of the Djibouti corridor and choking Addis Ababa. Then if they do not get the concessions they want and things continue to go their way militarily, they will press on towards Addis Ababa in alliance with the Oromo Liberation Army. And again, that threatens to create huge amounts of destabilization in Addis Ababa and potentially beyond.
All right, so it does look like momentum is against peace efforts for now. Let's get the perspective from Addis Ababa. And Samuel, as William noted there, that the rebels feel like things are on their side. What is the perspective from inside Addis Ababa? Do people have any genuine hope that maybe peace and a ceasefire can be achieved? Or are they resigned to some kind of standoff, military standoff in Addis Ababa now?
Overall, Ethiopians are really endorsing the idea of peace. Ethiopians are peace-loving people. It's a founding nation that founded the African Union. And I believe Ethiopians overall do support the idea of peace. But they also want Ethiopia to be recognized as an independent nation that can decide on its own with an advice from its friendly nations. But overall, Addis Ababa has been really, since the beginning of last week, been concerned and worried about what's about to happen. The local government said, they told the residents to register their arms and also defend their neighborhoods. That's very vague, and that scares a lot of us. But overall, I think, as we've seen, it's again, this conflict is a wage issue among Ethiopians. You either like it or hate it, and you can only see the kind of conversation that's been happening. That's as toxic as it gets on social media. But Ethiopia is an important nation. It has a population of more than 110 million people. It's a diplomatic capital of Africa. I don't think anyone would want anything but peace for this country. And right. The African Union envoy has said there is a small window of opportunity. I think that should be pursued. And peace needs to come to this region. And what happens in Ethiopia will affect other neighboring nations as well.
Kwesi, what strings do international powers have left now to pull on the different parties at war? We've already seen the UN has been pleading for access, humanitarian access. The US has removed its favored trading status for Ethiopia. Still, the parties seem like they want to go at it.
This is a family war. Republics are saying there are issues of identity, there are issues of personality, there are issues of power game, there are issues of ethnicity involved. So I think from the perspective of both sides, the drive to win a decisive victory is there. And I think the temporary halt, basically in these conflicts, is to try to get more weapons, to ramp up the propaganda, to get more people to sign up to the war itself.
All right, apologies. Obviously, we're having a bit of difficulty with the connection there to Kwesi. Let's continue with our other guests, though. And I guess, William, I've got to ask the question of what would it take at this point to convince the opposition not to go for the capital? Because it does feel like they are very confident and eager to have a go at Addis Ababa.
Well, as I suggested earlier, I think given the military situation, as we understand it, it does seem like something needs to be put on something concrete needs to be put on the table to stop continued pressure I think that pressure initially would come, there's current efforts by the Tigray commanders to try and take control of the Djibouti trade route, therefore put economic pressure on Addis. And I think, you know, unless there are those sorts of measures really to try and facilitate aid to Tigray, where there's hundreds of thousands of people in sort of famine conditions.
But William, pressure, what are those measures that the international community could take right now to convince the opposition, who are not far from Addis Ababa, who feel they have momentum on their side, to pull back?
That's what I'm talking about. There isn't any leverage. The leverage, if it exists, needs to be applied on the federal government to encourage them to take action to relieve what the Tigray leadership considers to be a siege of the region, which is threatening to kill hundreds of thousands of people in the region. Now, unless that sort of action is taken, then it is likely that the Tigray leadership will press on in the manner that I'm describing. The alternative is that the federal government and its allies tries to win the war. But in the last few months, they seem to have been losing the war. So the issue is that there isn't really that much pressure being applied by the international community. They don't have that much pressure. Also, if you look at the statements coming out of, for example, the United Nations Security Council the other day, there are all these suggestions urging for the Tigray leadership to return back to Tigray and stop fighting. But the Tigray leadership is fighting in its own mind, according to its own justifications, to try and overcome this siege, to try and reclaim territory that they lost to Amhara region at the outset of the war, and to remove what they see as existential security threats to Tigray. Now, it's understandable that people want them to stop fighting, but they made the decision to go on the offensive in July after removing the federal military from Tigray and the Eritrean military in June. And that is the reality of the situation we have there.
William, let me jump in there and ask you this question, though. If, according to that scenario, if the siege is lifted by the central government forces on Tigray and they are under less pressure, would that really encourage the TPLF and its allies to pull back if they're under less pressure and they're in a stronger position? Or would that encourage them to go further and say, well, why not finish the job?
I think it would be, create a very strong case for the international community. Just as they're placing pressure on the federal leadership to make those sorts of meaningful concessions to try and save hundreds of thousands of lives in Tigray, I think they would also be in a very strong position to put pressure on the Tigray leadership to stop their advance, stop trying to achieve regime change, which could be incredibly destabilizing in terms of the war coming to Addis Ababa. It could also catalyze further state repression and mob violence against Tigrayan civilians. I think at this stage, it certainly is the sort of course of action that should be achieved. I also acknowledge where your question is coming from. We have seen a particularly bullish positioning from the Tigray leadership talking about no negotiations with Abiy Ahmed and his allies. But I think, given how critical and how dangerous this situation is, what needs to be done is to place that pressure on the federal leadership to make those concessions in terms of humanitarian access and restoring the services to Tigray, and then put the pressure on the Tigray leadership to show some restraint here.
OK, interesting point. Let's take it to Samuel then, if we could. Samuel, do you think the central government wants that sort of negotiated resolution or ceasefire at least? Does it want the sort of preconditions, perhaps even power-sharing arrangements that might have to prevail if they lift their siege of Tigray and they give some space to the TPLF?
I do not think so. The Ethiopian side has already said the TPLF is a terrorist organization, they've declared them as such. And the TPLF has said the Ethiopian side is creating some form of genocide. I don't see them sitting down and negotiating. But, the African Union has been, for the most part, in the continent, has been irrelevant in the past. But, the window of opportunity that this president, the former president of Nigeria, the African Union envoy said, is really a historic moment, not just for Ethiopia, but also for the African Union to really get in and make a difference. you know, at the beginning of his appointment, the TPLF was against his appointment because they said he is so much in line with the Ethiopian side. But he went to Tigray, spoke to the leadership of TPLF. He came to Addis Ababa and spoke to the prime minister. He went to Amhara region, Afar region, where much of the conflict has been happening in the recent weeks. You know, as you know, the Tigray conflict is no more within the region. It's also in Amhara and Afar. And when you have that kind of personality that's willing to be engaged and vice versa from the main actors, I think there's a window of opportunity that shouldn't be missed. I think all actors recognize the fact too many people are dying in Ethiopia. Millions of people are being displaced.
Let me jump in, Samuel. If that window of opportunity,
what is saddening about this conflict,
listening to what William said,
the idea that sexual exploitation has defined.
If I could jump in, Samuel, if you can hear me. If that window of opportunity hinges, according to the analysis by William at least,
sure,
on pressure being brought on the Ethiopian government to lift the siege, to try and improve conditions in the Tigray region, if that window is based really on what the central government decides to do, and if, as you said, you don't think the central government wants to go down that road, is there really a window that's open here?
Well, there is an opening. It's been seen by the African Union envoy. But let me just address the United States for a moment. It's a great nation. Ethiopia and the United States have had a strong relationship for many, many years. But the reality is, when they call on
an unblocking of aid to Tigray and a restoration of service to try and achieve the peace he keeps talking about, do you think that aid should be facilitated, not choked to Tigray, that banking services should resume, electricity, telecommunications, to try and stop the Tigray leadership pushing forward to Addis Ababa? It's a really simple question, Samuel.
All right, let's give Samuel a chance to answer that then. Go ahead, Samuel.
Okay, thank you, William. There's an assumption from the United States whenever there's sanction in such countries like Ethiopia, when they cancel a trade agreement that really benefits the poorest among us, mostly young women, it doesn't pressure the Ethiopian government to come to a table and negotiate. The United States has to play a role in Ethiopia. I understand. I get that. I mean, the U.S. is a powerful nation. It afforded my own father
the
education
that
he needed when he was a young man.
I have,
but
have
the reality
posed to you,
is, the
well
U.S.
as William, is really regarding whether you think the central authorities should be willing to ease the situation in Tigray. Would that help?
Of course. Of course. But there's also an argument from the Ethiopian side that the TPLF is playing a role. Just look at the report that came out from the Amnesty International today accusing TPLF troops of sexual exploitation. So this kind of accusation, as reflected by the United Nations and the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission, says all actors are involved. They all have to play their roles so we can have peace. So the idea to focus on one side and blame one side only is just as foolish as it gets.
I think we've got a minute left. I'm going to try and give 30 seconds to each guest very quickly. First, William, in 30 seconds, what would a bigger civil war in Ethiopia mean for the rest of the region? In 30 seconds, William.
Well, I mean, I think Ethiopia is obviously the vital country in the Horn of Africa. We already see a raging civil war. Forget, you know, the loss of tax breaks for exporters to the US. We already have a devastated country, a devastated economy. We have no idea how many thousands of people have died or could die, particularly as a result of this siege. We see allegations of rape and other atrocities against the Tigrayan troops. We've also seen those against the... So if this continues, then of course it could be destabilizing for the Horn of Africa.
Okay, and let me give a quick 30 seconds on the same question to Samuel. What will it mean for the rest of the region, for Somalia, for Eritrea, and so on?
It means more refugees will be heading to neighboring countries. There will be famine. There will be a breakup of relationship from, you know, countries that can really have benefits. It's, you know, the relationship between Ethiopia is always seen as helping Ethiopia all the time. But the benefits has to be two-way forward. And there has to be a way to understand the side of Ethiopia, the side of the TPLF, and really bring these two partners to a peaceful negotiation will be a beneficial not only to Ethiopia, to the neighboring nations, but to the European nations that will be soon getting much of the migrants that will be heading their way.
All right, let's thank our guests for joining us on this show, William, Samuel, and of course, Kwesi earlier on. Thank you too for watching. You can see this show again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, head over to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJ Inside Story. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle there is @AJInsideStory. From me, Sami Zeidan, and the whole team here for now, is goodbye.